of their houses. So what was the qualification of actually the angel of death passing over the people of God that night? What did they have? Where did they have to be? They had to be in a house that was covered by the blood. If they were outside of the house, they're dead. If they're in a house that's not covered by the blood, they're dead. But as long as the house that they're in is covered by the blood, they're fine. So how did they get saved that night? By being in a blood-covered house. Once the tabernacle was built and they started worshiping through the tabernacle and through the temple, the people of God once a year had to bring a perfect lamb to be sacrificed. The priest would lay his hands on that lamb, impart that person's sin into that lamb, then the priest would slit the lamb's throat and it would bleed out and the people were forgiven. They had to have a perfect lamb, but if your sins were not in the lamb when its throat was slit, you're not forgiven. You're not forgiven. Your sins had to be in the lamb when it died, and then the people of God were forgiven. So there is some precedent here for being in something to be saved. And we know the ark as well, Noah's ark. They were in the ark, and that's how they got saved. Everything outside of the ark perished. They were saved by being in the ark. So we're going to look at a couple of these things. And I want you to just keep that word picture in your mind of being either in a circle or, you know, staying in Christ. That's our goal. And we're going to look at a bunch of these in Christ scriptures. There's actually 89 in Christ scriptures. I have good news for you. I'm not sharing all 89. And this doesn't even count all the in him, as in Jesus scriptures. We're not even going to look at those, but this would be a good study for you personally to do, is to look at these things, is in Christ. So I want to ask you a question. When you wake up in the morning, are you in the circle? Are you out of the circle? Are you in Christ or are you out of Christ? When you wake up in the morning, are you in Christ? Yes, you are. What the devil does sometimes is say, check your feelings. Do you feel like you're in Christ? I'm going to go, well, I don't feel like I'm in Christ. Well, I don't know. Well, you just doubted, and doubt is a sign that you're not in Christ. So you're definitely not in Christ. And all of a sudden, he'll get us to do something to try and get us to get ourselves back into Christ when we were there the whole time. So this is what the devil will do, is he will definitely attack us, and we do have to defend ourselves. If we don't defend ourselves, we will get knocked out of being in Christ. We'll fall, right, into the ball pit, so to speak. But if we get too aggressive with the devil, all he has to do is back up, back up, back up, and all of a sudden, we're not in Christ anymore. And you can see this is what he did to the Galatians. This is exactly what he did to the Galatians. He said, that circle is not enough. In Christ, not enough. And he got them to get out of this circle. So he plays with our feelings. So here's some scriptures we're going to look at. I just want to look at Galatians 1:6 before we get into this. Paul said, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting, and that word in the Greek means to be moved from or removed from. So Paul is saying you got moved out of Christ, or you were removed out of Christ. You were removed from him who called you in the grace of Christ, and you're turning to another gospel. These in Christ statements that we're about to look at imply that these things don't exist outside of Christ. These things don't exist outside of Christ. So we're going to look at some of these in Christ statements, but look at some of the benefits. What is in Christ? Do we even want to be there, for one? I think most of us would say yes. But it's amazing how often we try and get these benefits that we're going to read about through our own effort or not in Christ. If Paul were to say through Christ, then you go, okay, well, it came through Jesus to me, but now I got to do something. Now I got to do something, right? But he says in Christ. So Romans 3, 24. We are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And it's not through Christ. It's not because of Christ. It is, but he says in Christ. So what does that mean? It means if you are in Christ, if you're in that circle, redemption is there. Redemption is in Christ. If you are outside of Christ, there is no redemption. Romans 6:11. So you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. We can try and think, okay, I'm dead to sin and alive to God apart from Christ Jesus or outside of Christ Jesus. But that's not what Paul says. Paul says it's in Christ. You are alive to God because you're in Christ. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We think about often that our job is to have faith in him. And we should have faith in him, but actually Jesus has enough faith for us. He's the one that actually put us in Christ. God put us in Christ. Our job is to stay there, to stay in Christ. We need to know what is in Christ. What are these benefits? What do I need to believe? But they're there. And that's the amazing thing about the gospel, is that we didn't have to do any of it. God did it for us. I was outside of Christ. I was lost. I was in darkness. He literally placed me in Christ. He's the one that put me there. Now, my job is to what? Be like a good dog and stay. That's it. Be a good boy. Stay. I feed my dogs treats every morning, and it's terrible because we've literally, it's like Pavlov's dog, right, with the bells. When I wake up, or when Casey, whoever wakes up first, they're already slobbering. I mean, you know, and they're following you around. You're going to make coffee or going to the bathroom, something, but man, they are right there drooling, waiting for us to give them this free gift, right? They know it's coming. Oh, I don't even know why I said that. I had a point. It's true. Good dog, that's what it was. Be a good dog. That's what it was. Thank you. My little dog gets so excited he can't contain himself, and he just jumps and jumps and jumps. And then he jumps on me, and I'm trying to open the package, and my one dog's sitting there being a good dog, and my other little dog is being crazy. And I have to tell him, sit, and then sit, stay. Make him stay instead of jump on me. So I'm training him to stay put while I'm opening this bag of treats so that he gets it. And if he's not staying, he doesn't get the treat. So the treats are in this circle right around me, and his job is to stay. I give the treats, his job is to stay. God gave us this stuff. Our job is to stay. But they're in Christ. When we get ourselves out of Christ, the goodies aren't there. The treats aren't there. So here's some of the goodies. Romans 6:11. So you also consider yourself dead to sin, alive to God in Christ. Next one. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So as long as we're staying in Christ, we have eternal life. And this is where the argument comes, once saved, always saved. Some people say, oh, if you pray the prayer, no matter what you do, no matter how you live after that, you have your fire insurance, you're saved. Well, not according to Scripture. Actually, even not according to Jesus. In the book of Revelation, the seven letters to the seven churches, he says, if you stay faithful to the end. And the Apostle Paul says, if you are in Christ. He said, I want to be found in Christ. Our job is to stay. And guess what? If we don't stay, there's not eternal life outside of Jesus. We can go back to trying to earn it, trying to good works, trying all kinds of ways. And we get ourselves outside of being in Christ. There's no salvation there. So literally, our job as Christians, God put us in Christ, and he said, stay. That's our job, to stay in Christ. Easier said than done, though. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation. Who wants to live in a place where there's no condemnation? I do. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So what does that mean? When I'm not in Christ Jesus, there is condemnation. There is. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ. Not because of Christ, through Christ. He says in Christ. In Christ, there's freedom. In Christ, there's no condemnation. In Christ, you're alive. In Christ, there's forgiveness. In Christ, there's redemption. Romans 8:39. No height, no depth, not anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. And most of us stop there. We stop. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. It's not what it says. It says nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ. So where does the love of God live? In Christ. Now, does God love those who aren't in Christ? Of course. However, nothing will separate us when we are in the love of God in Christ. You can be outside of Christ, and man, the love of God, just maybe you feel it, maybe you don't. But when you're in Christ, God is love. So if you're in Christ, you're in love. You're standing in the very place, the very essence of love, in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Because of him, God, you are in Christ Jesus. That's amazing. Because of who? Because of you and your faith and your good works and all your self-effort, you're in Christ. He didn't say that. It's because of God. Because of God. He picked us up. He took us out of the dominion of darkness and put us in the kingdom of the Son of his love. He placed us in Christ. Because of God, you are in Christ. Who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Redemption, sanctification, righteousness, and God's wisdom are in Christ. That's amazing. So if you're in Christ right now, you are existing in the very place of love. You are existing in the place of all wisdom. All knowledge is in him. Right standing is in him. 2 Corinthians 1:21. It is God who establishes us with you in Christ. In case you didn't get it the first time, who puts you in Christ? God, not me, not you. We believe that it happened. We believe that it's true. And when we believe it, we get translated into Christ and Christ into us. It's amazing. It is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us. Wow. We love in our charismatic church to be anointed, right? We love to be anointed. Where is anointing found? In Christ. He is the anointed one. That's what Christ means, the anointed one. So if you are in Christ, where are you? You are in the anointing. You are always anointed. You're always empowered when you're in Christ. Always. It can't not be that way. 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. We sang this morning, and we love to sing about victory. We're going to have victory. We're going to be victorious. And then we try and have a bunch of faith and a bunch of self-effort to try and get that victory. And God will help us get that victory. But that's not what this scripture says. It says, if I'm in Christ, I'm always in victory. I'm in a triumphal parade right now, an eternal parade of winning. That's what's in Christ. An eternal parade of victory, an eternal parade of victory, an eternal parade of the devil and his demons being drugged behind the chariots behind me. If I'm in Christ, that is my reality. That is your reality. But we often try and get that reality. We try and get that victory outside of Christ. Or the devil gets us to get too aggressive and get into self-effort and self-works, and he gets us out of Christ. And now we're in self-works trying to get victory, trying to have a triumphal procession, trying to believe these things are true. These things are true in Christ Jesus. If you think about these things, why didn't he say through Jesus? By Jesus? Because of Jesus? A lot of these would still be true. It is because of Jesus. It is by Jesus. But the Apostle Paul, I believe, had a revelation of being in Christ. He's the one that said, I have died with Christ. Somehow God showed him, the Holy Spirit showed him, when Jesus died on the cross, so did you, Paul. He was like, whoa, I was in Christ on the cross. I was in Christ when he went into the grave. And more importantly, I was in Christ when he came out of the grave. And I'm in Christ when he ascended to the right hand of the Father. When he floated up into the sky, and the disciples are like, where are you going? Right? Paul realized I was in him going up. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father. I am too. He had this revelation of being in Christ. It changes the meaning because of Christ or through Christ. But in Christ. And then he realized, wait, it wasn't my faith that put me there either. God put me there. God put me there. You know, this in Christ concept has caused a lot of theologians to come to the conclusion, well, if Scripture does say, in Christ all have died. In Christ all have died. Everyone. So some theologians have said, wait, if this happened 2,000 years ago, let me just put it this way, right? If someone comes to accept the Lord today, says, I'm a sinner, I'm repenting, I believe Jesus, I want to follow him, I want him to be my Lord and Savior, and I want the benefits of forgiveness. I want all the benefits that come. We don't say, okay, let's give God a second to crucify Jesus on your behalf. We don't say that, do we? We don't say, okay, well, technically, you know, God has to crucify Jesus and put you in him and then come back 3 days later so you can be raised from the dead. And then actually come back 40 days later, 50 days later, 10 days, then 40 days to get the Spirit. And then we got to wait until Jesus ascends for you to actually be seated in heaven. So pray this prayer, and then 50 days from now, you'll be good to go. Then you can claim you're seated in heaven. We never say that. We don't do that. Why? Because we know all that stuff has already happened. It already happened 2,000 years ago. Well, if we all have died, then some theologians have said, well, gosh, everyone's going to heaven because we all died in Christ, and we were raised from the dead in Christ, and so we're all going to heaven. And I look at it this way, and you can prove this scripturally, I strongly believe. It's like a bank. Let's pretend there's a bank that exists, and they have a bunch of branches in every city around the country or the world, and they're giving away free money. Free money. Whenever you want it, you just go in, and you get free money. We'd all be like, yes, but you need a debit card. You need to have a debit card, but it's free. You get it for free. But you need a debit card. Well, how would you get a debit card in the bank of heaven with tons of free money? Repentance. It takes repentance and believing. And when you repent and you believe and you submit to God, guess what you get? You get a debit card that gives you access to what? Money that was put in there a long time ago. It was in there before you walked to the bank. It was already available. Someone already deposited it. But we don't receive the benefits until we make the withdrawal. We make the withdrawal by faith, right? Through repentance. So yes, it's true. We were all in Christ when he died. We were all in Christ when he raised from the dead. And we can prove that when someone comes to give their life to Jesus, they don't have to wait 50 days for the benefits. The benefits are available when? Right now, because Jesus paid for it 2,000 years ago. And when does it become their reality? Right now. Everything. Right now, because it was already paid for. God takes us and puts us, boom, in Christ. Jesus already did it. It happens instantly. Many of us, we do something wrong and we kind of beat ourselves up, or we think, man, I totally messed up. So it's going to take me a little while before I will let myself get back in Christ. Like we kind of slink back. If that's the circle, if that's Christ, we go, oh, God, I really messed up. And, you know, we don't get back into Christ quickly. We slink back because we don't deserve to get back there quickly. That's a demonic lie. When did God forgive you for your sin? Let's pretend we're all going to sin tomorrow. I'm not giving you permission. I'm not saying do it. I'm saying maybe it might be possible that every single one of us will sin tomorrow. When was that forgiveness given? Will it be forgiven tomorrow? Or was it forgiven 2,000 years ago? It was forgiven 2,000. Actually, it was forgiven before you ever existed, because God decided it would be so. Jesus Christ was crucified before the foundation of the world. So when did God decide to forgive you? Before he made anything. It was already in his heart. So how quickly should we receive forgiveness? We should do it pretty quickly. Now, should we be serious about our forgiveness? Our repentance? Yes, we should. But we can receive it instantly. So being in Christ is available to everybody. But it takes repentance, right? He always leads us into triumph. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if you're in Christ, if you're in Christ, he is a new creation. So where is the new creation? Where are you a new creation? In Christ. In Christ. In Christ, you're brand new. Outside of Christ, what are you? I don't know. Yeah, hanging out with the old man. Necromancy, he's dead. Galatians 3:26. For in Christ, Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. In Christ, you're a son of God. In Christ. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Where is every, who wants every spiritual blessing? I do. Where do we find it? In Christ. Where did God put us? In Christ. So what do you have? Every spiritual blessing. You do. You already have it. Maybe you haven't discovered it yet. Right? That's what Paul says in Corinthians, that the Holy Spirit is our tour guide. That scripture that says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor mind imagined the things that God has prepared for those. And we think, oh, one day. But if you keep reading in that verse, it says, the unbelievers don't see it. The unbelievers don't get it. The unbelievers don't understand it. But these things are given to us through the Holy Spirit. Those things that eye has not seen are for us, available now. And how do we see them? through the Spirit. Ear has not heard, things that mind has not imagined. Those are ours right now in the Holy Spirit. In Christ is a really big place with lots of big goodies. And the Holy Spirit has to show us how much is here. How much is here? We go outside of Christ to try and get every spiritual blessing when we already have it. We need to dig where we are. Amen? I'm almost done. Ephesians 2:6. He raised us up with him, Jesus, and seated us with him, Jesus, in the heavenly places in Christ. He didn't just seat us in heavenly places. He didn't just seat us by him or near him. He put us in Christ, and Christ rose from the dead. Christ ascended to the highest place in heaven. He sat down, and we're in him. So as long as you are in him, he is far above every principality and power, right? So as long as you're in him, where are you? Far above every principality and power. Why are we so afraid? Because we don't get the in him. We don't really believe all these things are for us and true. And how hard we work for something that's right here. Right? How hard we work. If you take nothing else from today, I just want you to hear, stay. Good dog, stay. Right? That's it. God put us there, stay. Be a good boy, be a good girl, stay. Right? That's all I want you to hear, stay. Ephesians 2:6. Oh, sorry, 7. In Christ, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches. How many riches? No one could ever count. No calculator goes that big. The immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us. He could have stopped, right? So that he might show us the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us, period. But Paul's very clear. He's very intentional. The immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. So what's in Christ? Immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness. Wow. Immeasurable riches of grace. Immeasurable riches of grace. Our arms should be exhausted because we can't hold that much. Man, if we just meditate on what's true. God says this isn't true. He doesn't say it might be true. It could be true. It's possibly true. God's opinions are facts. He says, this is true. If we just thought of, whoa, wow. I can't get any more grace than I already have. I have an immeasurable amount of grace. Already, right now. Come on. Yeah. That would get us drunk in the spirit, right, if we think about that long enough. 2 Timothy 2:1. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 1:14, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. We know love is there, but wow, faith is there too. The substance of faith is located geographically where? In Christ. Put a GPS right there. In Christ. There's grace. If you want to get to faith, if you want to get to love, if you want to get to grace, just type it in your GPS. I'm going to in Christ. Boom. It's geographically located there. 2 Timothy 2:10, therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Salvation and glory. Glory in Christ Jesus. Like I said before, the devil tries to knock us off one of two ways. He tries to knock us out of being in Christ. And this word picture helps me. I hope it helps you. It helps me. That balance beam or that game where you just put your feet together and you're not allowed to move, right? And you're standing toe-to-toe against the devil. And he's trying to knock me out of being in Christ. That's all he can do. That's all he can do is try and get me out of Christ. He can't steal anything that's in Christ. If I'm in Christ, can he take anything from me? No, because he can't take from Christ. If I'm in Christ, can he have any sort of victory over me? No, because he can't have any sort of victory over Jesus. So all he can do is knock me off my place of being in Christ. How does he do that? Lies, obviously. So if I don't defend myself, if I don't say anything, and an accusation, you're just a loser. And I don't say anything back, I just take it. Oh, yeah. How could God love me? I don't know. Right? We just, oh, I'm not in grace. I'm not in love. God doesn't love me that much. I don't have favor on my life. I don't feel victory. Right? He knocked me out because I didn't defend myself against his lies. But what we'll also do is, I hate you, devil, and you're a liar. You know, we attack him, and all he has to do is back up. Pretty soon, we're out. We're out. This is exactly what he did to the Galatians. He said, that in Christ thing, it's not enough. There's other goodies out here. You definitely want these other goodies. You definitely want these other things. And he got them into works of the flesh. A religious thing, a thing that actually makes our conscience feel pretty good, because I'm trying really hard. And I'm doing good, godly, religious things. It feels right. But this is what the Apostle Paul says about it in Galatians 5:4. He was talking to these people, these Greeks that were uncircumcised. Some Jews came behind and said, yeah, the Jesus thing is good, but you also need to. Whenever you hear you also need to, yeah, say, ruh-roh. The devil's trying to lie to me. All I have to do is be a good boy and stay. Right? All I have to do is be a good boy and stay. He said, you think that you're doing a godly, righteous, good thing that's going to add to being in Christ by being circumcised. You think cutting this piece of flesh off yourself and letting it fall on the ground is going to add to your righteousness. But all you have done is you've cut yourself off from the body of Christ, from Christ himself. You've severed yourself from Christ. And you have fallen from grace. You have fallen from the place of grace. Where is grace? In Christ. How did the devil get them out of being in Christ? Out of the circle, off of the perch? Self-effort, self-works. So in this case, the Galatians were being a little too spiritually aggressive in trying to attain something that was already given. This is what the authors of the New Testament try to... Gnosticism was one of these ways that you could come in and try and convince someone. There's mystical stuff in Revelation, and there's this stuff, these experiences, and it'll add. And they're saying, look, yes, Revelation... about Christ, yes, there's more. knowledge, knowing him better, yes, there's more. But you can't get more than you already have because you already have it all, because Jesus is all. He's in all. He's through all. He's the creator of all. He is the fullness of the image of Christ. He is everything. Every good thing you ever hoped for is in Christ. Why would you ever look anywhere else? Anything else is a lie and a deception. Now, getting revelation, understanding about more of what is in Christ, yes. This was a helpful word picture for me in getting too aggressive against the devil. I'll prove to you from some scripture here that this is true. Jesus is the grace place. When we're in Christ, we're in grace. Paul says this 3 verses later to the Galatians, you were running a good race. So the picture is like a marathon or a 100-yard dash or something, and you have your lane and you have the starting place and you have a finish line and you are running well. And someone came in who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth. So it's a picture of someone coming along and knocking you out of your lane or even knocking you down, knocking you out of the place where you were doing well. It's another word picture that Paul uses. You got knocked out of being in Christ. You're not in grace anymore. In our personal wrestlings with the father of lies, we take our stand. We don't go guns blazing aggressive, and we don't stay passive. You know what scripture says? So I'm going to challenge you. I want to encourage you. Let me say exhort you. Let me exhort you. Go home and figure out, okay, in my personal war against the devil, what is my stance? What is the biblical stance that I should take? And more often than not, what you're going to find is the word stand. Wow. Stand. Here's a couple of scriptures for you. Ephesians 6:10. Through 14, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Be strong. Where? In the Lord. Not just be strong. He doesn't say, be spiritually strong. He says, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of your might. In the strength of his might. So where are we supposed to be strong? In the Lord. What's in the Lord? His strength. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to run after the devil and cut his head off. Stand. Whoa, really? That's in my personal fight against the devil, I'm not supposed to chase him down? I'm not supposed to chase after him? No. He says, stand. Put on the whole armor of God and be strong in the Lord so that you can stand. Stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. Oh, that's the next verse, I think. Next verse. There we go. That you may be able to withstand. This is from the same root word. It actually means to resist, but it's the same root word as stand, to stand firm, to resist. It's the same word as, and here's another scripture for you, James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist, stand firm, withstand the devil. And he will flee from you. James even says, don't go chase after him. When you're in a head-to-head battle against the devil, you resist. You stand. You stand firm. Interesting. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the day of evil, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, And it goes on and on and on. But what is the exhortation in our personal warfare against the devil? Stand. Stay. Be a good boy. Stay. Stay in Christ is what they're saying. Do not let yourself be moved from being in Christ. All the fullness of God dwells in Christ. All his fullness in Christ. Our spiritual warfare is to be a good boy and be a good girl and stay. 1 Peter 5, 6, and we're going to end. This is 6 through 12. I think I have it. Oh, no, I have part of it. You're going to have to listen to me. Okay, be a good boy, be a good girl. Listen. Humble yourselves, therefore, under... So listen for warfare, okay? This is warfare instructions. This is Christian life instructions, warfare instructions against the devil. Spiritual battle stuff. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So run! Doesn't say so run. Doesn't say so chase after him. Doesn't say so go find him in the bushes. Resist him. Withstand. Same word, stand. Withstand. Withstand him. Stand against him. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brothers throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, there goes Peter, in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother, as I regard him, I have written briefly to you. Okay, so his whole letter of 1 Peter to the believers, he's summing it up here. I've written all this stuff to you briefly, exhorting and declaring this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. That's all we have to do. Just be a good boy and stay. God put us in Christ. Don't let the devil, through over-aggression or under-aggression, under-defense, knock you off of being in Christ. If you stay in Christ till the day you die, you go into glory. You go into glory. We have everything we need. Everything. Everything. So much. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that good news? Hope this is helpful. Let's stand. Holy Spirit, we really do. We need your help. We overcomplicate this faith thing, we overcomplicate this Christian thing so bad. Lord, you said little kids could do it. Little kids could do it. Apparently, dogs can do it too. Just stay and get fed by the master. God, we do ask that you would give us a greater understanding, that we would know the height and the breadth and the depth and the width of the love of God and the riches that are in Christ Jesus, so that we would never want to move, that we would never be duped into moving out of being in Christ. Lord, we thank you that when we were at our worst, we had no interest in being righteous. You did all of this for us. You accomplished it, past tense. Lord, if there's anyone in this room that hasn't surrendered their life, that hasn't repented of their sins, that hasn't allowed you to place them in Christ, Lord, convict their hearts. Show them your grace and your kindness that are in Christ Jesus. It's the only place salvation can be found. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it's true. We thank you that it's true. We bless you, Lord. We bless you. The gospel is such good news. It's such good news. You placed us in your love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's no better place in the entire universe. There's no more glorious place. There's no more beautiful place than in Christ. No better place. We just want to stay. Help us to stand. In Jesus' name. Amen.